be settled, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, they're not out of town. Yeah. No, yeah. No. If you ever shake a flight attendant's hand, just ice cold. They're cold blooded. Cold blooded. They have no warm blood in their veins at all.
The reptilians.
Yeah. You know what's sick about your show is like for the whole 2 hours, you lot didn't sit down.
That's true.
Like,
yeah.
You was up the whole time, and that's
because Rory's so nervous, he doesn't like to sit down. I like to sit down.
Okay. Oh.
But if I'm sitting down and Rory's not, it's like
I don't get nervous for shows at all.
If you notice, I sit on the couch, Rory doesn't. Like when we first come out, I sit down.
Because it's
doesn't.
A show.
So
I just
then
feel
it's like,
all
right, so I got to stand up now at this point. I'm not going to be the only one sitting on the couch.
I just feel like if the meet and greet ticket, price of our merch, everything, just sitting down, I feel bad. Like, just want to stand up and walk around and have some type of a show.
So, but in terms of like your shows, like how do you guys prepare for them? Like, what's your inspiration, or do you just do your thing? Mm. Like,
I mean, we kind of have a guideline and an outline of what we want to do, but we never really know until we actually feel the audience and kind of get a vibe of, you know, what level they're on. So that's why the meet and greets sometimes are important before the show, because we get to kind of figure out who's in the audience early.
Okay.
So we know what to kind of expect. But the interesting thing about live podcasts is that, well, for Rory and myself, it really goes off of the audience.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, who's out here tonight? Is everyone, people here want to have fun? Because it's a podcast. We don't want to just sit down and talk. Yeah. We want to get interactive, and we want to have some fun and let the people get a chance to talk to us and say to our face all the mean things they say in the comments every week.
Yeah, and I mean, do you actually get that, though?
Oh, my God.
Absolutely.
Oh,
really?
Yeah. I mean, not really in person, but on the internet, for sure. You'll see the comments under this when it's posted. Yeah. I'm sure they'll be in there. But, you know, we take our live show very seriously and understand that if people are coming out to see us, they don't just want to see a podcast. They can watch that on YouTube. So, you know, we try to have a lot more interaction, different segments, different games. Like, it's not just, hey, sit down and pod, because they get that already.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
Have you ever done a show and, like, the energy's just not in there?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
There were
what state was it?
Two last year.
I don't want to call nobody out.
Because we appreciate it. It should have been London, though.
Oh, no, it definitely wasn't
London.
London was crazy.
They made that freestyle easy because the energy was so great and the crowd was
I couldn't wait to get back here. Like, I'm excited to be back. Oh, like, we talked about it since we left last year. Like, we really was waiting to get back, so we're happy to be here now, and I'm looking forward to seeing everybody Friday.
The screens are working,
Oh, yeah.
Well, we don't know yet.
Well, they say they are.
Last year, it was like the venue kept giving it the green light and then taking it back, green light, taking. So I'm running to and from the stage in the green room telling them. And then it got to a point where I was like, I can't keep giving them false hope. So I just waited until it was officially no. And then that's when I want to know from your guys' perspective, because you guys were like, when we came in, because we were living it. We were pissed.
Yeah.
From the outsider's perspective, like, how did it look from the show's experience? Yeah. But then when you came into the green room and tried to, like, hang out.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that it was mad interactive for sure. Mm. And we're from London, so we know what. A London energy isn't like that excited.
Yeah.
Like we're just kind of like chilled.
Yeah, like even what you just said, like London is what's so
excited. Yeah, that's what we're like. But but for your show, it was everyone was
crazy.
Everyone was talking. Everyone was loud.
Our show, which was like a few weeks later.
So what crowd would you say is the livest? Because to us, London was by far the most interactive, most excited.
If you're from the UK. London's a bit more chill, but if you go further up north,
Manchester, Birmingham,
like Newcastle, they're rowdy. Like, they'll get on stage.
A little more inland.
They don't. I think in London, there's so much going on, so it's like they can't get used to it.
Okay,
you've got so many things to go to, but then when you're going up north, it's like they've been waiting for that day for like 7-8 months.
We had to battle Dave Chappelle last year, and now we have to battle 50 Cent this year. We need to
And I heard 50 Cent actually coming down from the top of the ceiling.
Yeah.
He's getting like suspended.
But what song is that though?
I don't know what song makes sense.
Fits that, right?
21 questions.
21 questions.
Nah, it's gonna be
he answers all the questions. Like,
I just didn't understand. I think, but 50 is such a troll. I think he does all of that shit on purpose.
Just because he can.
He's a troll, man. He's the king troll. So I think he does that shit like, yo, I want to come down from the ceiling like a corny rapper would. Like, I could see him definitely telling his production crew 100%. That. Like,
it's marketing.
Yeah, like I came out when the first time I performed, I had a bulletproof vest on and a do-rag, and now I'm floating in the air. So it's kind of like.
yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah. It's polar opposites. Like, is this the same artist?
Is he wearing the do-rag and the bulletproof vest coming down?
I hope not. Well, maybe he is, and maybe he's symbolizing like he's an angel, like he got killed in a shootout.
Oh, okay, kinda, okay.
I don't know. Maybe. Metaphoric. Yeah, yeah. Metaphors or something like that. I don't know. Yeah. Either way, he shouldn't do that.
Many men is fucking hilarious.
Either way, he shouldn't be doing that. Crazy. Shout out to 50, though.
Yeah, that's crazy. But speaking of music, so, like, you guys have been around London, I assume, like, a few times. And I think you're quite ingratiated in terms of like what goes on in the scene. Like who do you listen to out here?
I mean, it's gonna sound super cliche, but I think the Central C and Dave EP was one of the best projects of this entire year. I know that's like the obvious one to say, but I think they have probably one of the best rap projects.
Can you hear everything they're saying?
Yeah, of course.
So now you look, there's no, because back in the day you guys would say that you can't hear, the accent's not clear.
Yeah.
But is it now you can hear everything?
I can understand it now. It takes a couple listens, but it's interesting the words that some of the artists here use. Yeah. As an American, I know exactly what they're talking about.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Okay. Like one of my guys I listen to, Digga D.
All right.
He had a song. He was like something mackerel. I'm like, okay, that's fish. That's like fish scale. That's coke. Yeah. I was like, I know what that is.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? Like, I put that whole play together. I was like, that's what he's talking about.
Yeah. But like, the way, like, even Thug, like, even back home, like, Thug, when it came out, one could, it was just, you were listening to the melody, less the lyrics.
Really?
And then, you know, your ear over time gets used to it.
Yeah.
And then now you're just, you get it. I like H and AJ Tracy are great, too.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, on the younger side. Yeah. I fuck with H.
I like Potter.
Yeah, Porter Paper. Yeah, he's cold.
It's cold with Potter.
He's cold. He had one of the best albums.
Jay Huss. I like Jay Huss.
Jay Huss is dope. Yeah. But I feel like that's why Central C and Dave have been so successful. They've mastered the art of saying words that everyone understands.
Yeah,
like it's definitely in London slang.
But
it's easier. Like when Giggs first came out, he was so London that it took
it's kind of hard, a second
to get adjusted to that.
They
figured out how to market themselves vocally. Even when C did the Leakers freestyle, like a box, I thought that shit was genius.
That was cold.
That was sick.
They've mastered that. Just looking at the guys that came before.
Who on his team told him to do that? Because I don't think I can't see him coming.
Him just coming up with that.
Why not?
Somebody. He was very smart.
He's so young though. Like for him to pick that, it was kind of like somebody's in his ear that told him that would be a good look. You know what I mean? Like I liked it though, but I was like, did that come from him or that somebody around him? Like you should do this.
And
either way, it was dope though. You know what I mean? But obviously, you know, guys like Giggs, Stormzy, like they were the ones that us Americans kind of like heard early and started paying attention to the scene over here a lot. But it's dope to see where it's going though.
Yeah.
Did Stormzy translate that much? Because I don't know the full effect of how much Stormzy was able to translate to America in comparison to like, I don't know, Central C now. Did Stormzy have at his peak have as big as an impact as Central C did?
Not really. It wasn't like that because again, you know, I think the language barrier was a thing and a lot of people didn't catch it. And then obviously the rhythm, the beats was a little different. But when you just love hip hop culture and, you know, you come from it, I think no matter where you're from, you find artists that are dope. No matter you know, the language barrier, nothing, you still understand the music though. And I think social media helped a lot with that too though. Because now so many people that have never been to London, they could follow London artists on social media.
Yeah.
True.
Obviously, the culture with films and stuff like that, coming like Top Boy and all
Top
of these.
Boy, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like now people are starting to pay more attention. Like, oh, London is like New York. Like is like, and it's like, it's one and the same. Like if you're from the hood in America, you it's go to the hood in London, like you're going to know you're in the hood.
100%.
I think that was the thing that people just didn't believe. Like I think Americans would mock us and be like, there's no hood in London.
Yeah.
I used to tell people all the time, it's not just biscuits and tea in London. Like you'll get your issue in London quick.
The thing with London is like, it looks nice and then you take the wrong left turn and you're finished.
And then the way y'all talk is so proper. So I don't know if you're like a threat or if like you're literally giving me directions. It's like, wait, he sounded like such a nice gentleman. It's like, no, he has a sword in his pocket a Rambo knife. Yeah. Like, it's like, you know what I mean? Like,
there's guys guarding like the highest court with muskets. I'm like, I can't take them seriously.
The thing with London, like the man them here, like if they're gonna do something to you, they ask you a question. It's like,
it's nice.
What have you got for me?
Yeah.
Or
what's the time?
What are you saying?
It's very polite.
And that means like, that, he's got a sword.
Somebody comes to me like, what have you got for me? I'm like, sir, I don't have anything.
Their version of, yo, you good?
Yeah.
You good?
Okay.
I want to ask you guys though, because on the London hip hop front, does it mean more for an artist to become big here and like have a strong solidified career here, or does it mean more to crack like the US demo and be like, you know what I mean?
It's
not
strange
even be
one.
At the top of the US demo, but just like survive in it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Would you rather be the man out here or be like survival out there?
I think like there's so much importance in getting respect here.
Yeah.
Especially within hip hop, within grime,
yeah,
that kind of genre of music. Like if you don't have that rep, if you then go over to America and blow, you're still going to be seen as corny.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know, until, you know?
Yeah, man.
Because think about, I don't know, maybe I'm just thinking about it from a business perspective. Mm. If I'm thinking, do I want to be known here or do I want to be known in America? The UK is so small.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. You want to be known in America.
So like, I would, if I had the choice to be like fully, like every single person knows me here or like cross over and go to America, I would definitely pick America. Like I go on Spotify sometimes, there's artists that have like 10 million monthly listeners and I've never heard of them.
Mm. Yeah, yeah,
yeah, fair.
Because like in their state, they're popping, innit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
they haven't like...
I think also too, it's just the fact that hip hop started in New York. In
America. Yeah.
So I feel like, you know, if you're in the culture of hip hop in UK, you kind of want that cosign in America as well.
Yeah.
But I feel like if you prove yourself over here and then go to the States, you have a better shot of getting like hard ticket sales. Because to your point of an American artist having 10 million monthly listeners,
yeah,
a lot of them can't sell out a 300 person venue.
That's crazy. Yeah.
But the person that I think solidifies himself in the UK and does the slow grind to then go to the States is going to have an actual significant career.
Yeah.
Whereas America, you could pop just off some viral shit, but you're not going to sell tickets. Like, it's just a quick thing and there's no money in streaming per se.
It's kind of like being a good soccer player in New York City. And then like coming over here and signing with like United, Manchester, you know, big teams. It's this is where I want to be.
Yeah.
Like I don't want to be playing in football in New Jersey. Like it's not the same.
Has there been an artist? Because I think in the case even the stateside, there's been artists that have popped overseas that then come back home and have built a following. Has there been a version of that here, where an artist from London or the UK has popped in the States and then come back here? Because, like, Tekashi really popped, like, in, if I'm wrong, whatever, like, Russia or, like, some Eastern European country had a huge following and then migrated that to the States.
I can't think of any, like, UK... I can think of singers like LMA, for instance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just because of R&B and whatever. And yeah, R&B's not really
LMA
respected.
LMA Queens.
Like, but rappers, I don't know.
She went to high school in Queens. Just because she has an accent.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
What do you think of, like, more old school, like, Craig David? Because he tried to...
Yeah, he popped everywhere, though.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he did it here.
That's because he was light-skinned.
Colorism helps, for sure.
Yeah, if he was dark-skinned, I don't know if Craig would have made it in America. Craig. I don't know if he would have popped over there, yeah. He wouldn't have been on that BET countdown. I don't know.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
But, like, for instance, like, so it's going to your point, like, Kano for us is, like, the top in terms of, like, UK lyricists, artists, Rich Free too, those sort of guys. I don't know if they get that sort of respect in the US. And I don't know if it's almost like the time for them has gone, because it's like the younger guys, like the Daves and the Central Seas, they've got years to like put in the grind to like do the shows out there. But like Kano and Rich Free too, are they really gonna...
That's a very...
But they should be able to.
Yeah, but it's the same in America too. A lot of the lyrical guys don't really get the looks.
Yeah. Okay.
Anymore. Okay. It's more about the vibe and the energy of the music now, more than anything. It's not about what you're saying, it's how you're saying it.
That's true.
You know what I mean? So I think it's just tough. It's a tough time for lyrics.
Yeah.
Right now. More people want to hear a good beat, good bass, and just a certain energy on the track. It's unfortunate because, you know, that's what hip hop is built on, is lyrics. But you know, people, it's subjective what people like to hear and what people want to hear. So artists like that are lyrical in the UK, I could see them having a hard time just breaking to that top.
Yeah.
But I mean, even let's say C and Dave had American accents with the last EP they put out. I don't know if that shit would have popped the way it popped.
Really?
Their accents made it unique. They're both very lyrical.
Yeah.
And I saw people that aren't really typically into lyrics in America loving their project
because
it has some unique tone to it. I don't know if they just had some straight up Brooklyn accents that would go the way it went.
Yeah.
That kind of is a plus right now,
I
think, with UK artists. You can be lyrical because it sounds different than... Just,
there's intrigue there already.
Yeah. There's who's a different
your favorite
texture to it.
Who's your favorite right now, like in the city? Like who's
in London?
Yeah.
Oh, for me right now, Nux.
Okay.
Nux is cold.
Little Sims.
Ooh, she just sold out a show. last week, last Sunday, I think, or Saturday. Mm-hmm. Dave. Dave's cold. Like, Dave's always going to be cold.
Yeah, Dave was nice.
Who else?
H, I think H is sick.
H is cold.
Fucking love H.
Just Cody loves H.
Everyone looks like, oh, he's a white boy. I'm like, he is. He's like, comparatively, he'd be like a Jack Harlow back home.
Yeah.
Okay, fair.
Just because he's white?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. He does do that like sample based stuff.
He gets some of those like radio ass rap bars off. And that's not a diss. It's clever, but it's like, all right, I see what you're doing here.
Yeah.
Is London scene divided the way New York City is? Like
divided how?
The way we look at New York is with boroughs. We don't really look at it as New York City. Like it's
100%.
Is London the same way in that regard?
So if you go to a club now, like the DJ, I don't know if they do it today, but they used to be like, who's from South London screams, who's from North London screams, East London, West London. So that was always a thing. And Northwest had its own little side. So back in the day when we were growing up, you couldn't really travel to South if you're from North.
Mm. Yeah.
Because you couldn't say, if they ask you where you're from and you're from North, it's a long day for you.
Okay.
But like, but like now it's like, it's cool. Okay. It's like, it's not much of a thing. I don't know. I don't know what the kids
are saying.
I don't
know, man. I mean, we're not really in that normally.
Yeah, we're not really,
We wouldn't 100% know, but I do think it's still elements of that. And definitely
Is it like that with like the musicians in New York?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, why Atlanta took over and was so successful in the mid-2000s up until now is, even though they have their own Atlanta politics, they all fuck with each other. Like, Atlanta as Atlanta, whereas New York is so divided that it's tough for everyone to come together and share fan bases or work with each other.
They wouldn't collab.
They just don't look at it as New York City.
Yeah.
It's all divided.
It's all right with music here, isn't it? Unless you've got beef with a certain side. Like, it's really... Like Stormzy will collab with Dave, for instance, or
they're both from South.
Okay, they're both from South, but different sides of South. But who'll collaborate with anyone from North? Tion Wayne and all these men.
What's up with Tion Wayne?
I think he's got a song that came out
the other day, right?
Yeah. M24.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you like Tion Wayne?
I like Tion Wayne.
Who plays like, which UK artists play in the clubs in?
Well, I mean, obviously right now is Central.
Is it a homophobic one? Just that one, or is it?
Nah, I mean they play Sprinter.
Okay.
Remember Dave? But I got, you know, one of my best friends, International Fur, he put me on a lot of the UK music the last 3-4 years. He's been putting me on.
Oh, okay, cool.
So I started like following the guys, and I'm like, damn, it's funny how you hear like just the element of hip hop, the culture, even if it's like somebody with an accent. It's crazy how it travels the world and it covers every corner of the globe. Yeah. But I just love the fact that it's spreading though. Like, it's coming into America and people are rocking with it. A lot of the girls, because again, the rhythm, the beat.
Yeah.
So once you know girls start dancing to something, we don't care what they say. We going. We're in there.
Americans probably have the least rhythmic tone ever. Like if you think about it, I'm getting on my nerd shit at this point, but Americans really have the worst accent when it comes to music. It's not rhythmic the way everyone else's language is.
Do you think?
Just the way you said that was beautiful.
Oh, sorry. Hey, sample that. Let's get that.
I would say, do you think? Doesn't sound that good.
Yeah, it doesn't roll off the tongue.
Okay, maybe so. I feel like you guys have different, anyways, across the states. For instance, like down south versus you guys' accents, and then whatever that, like, there's like proper different.
Yeah.
Well, ways the southern accent is probably the closest thing to a rhythmic accent in the United States. Mm-hmm. New York is not really that. Cali's not really that.
Really?
But the south is probably the closest to a rhythmic tone at the end of the day. And UK has that.
Yeah.
You can hear it with Afro beats. Like, we're the only country. Yeah. I don't know how we've dominated in hip hop because of it, but you guys have the most rhythmic tone, I feel like.
Yeah. So do you guys like Afrobeats then? I'm a piano, all of that.
Listen, I just told you, anything that's going to make women dance, anything that's going to have women moving, I'm a fan. Yeah. I'm downloading.
So you've been on the TikToks watching the girls dancing to that piano?
100%.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. That's my favorite song. My favorite song right now. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. I remember when I went, when did I go to Texas? Like 4 or 5 years ago.
Lost your mind.
But I was asking people, I did.
I know. I know.
I was asking people, like, do you know who Wizkid is? Mm. And, like, loads of people were like, what? Like, I was asking, like, girls who have come there from Nigeria. So I was thinking they would know.
Yeah.
And a lot of them didn't.
Mm-hmm. What year was this?
You said 4 years ago?
Like 5 years ago. Yeah,
I can see that, though.
5 years.
Like 20, yeah,
I can see it. 2015? In Texas?
I'll say no, like 2016, I think. Okay. 2016, 2017.
I can see that in Texas.
I feel like there's so many Africans in
Houston. Yeah,
yeah. Houston's a massive community. Yeah,
this was African girls saying they didn't know?
Yeah.
Nigerian parents were born in...
They were born in America, but they were Nigerian girls and they didn't know who was.
7 years ago, they should have known who was.
Yeah, 100%.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
That's that. Who's the biggest? Texas,
one
man.
Dance was out at that point.
How did you not? Who's the biggest American artist out here right now?
American artist?
Drake.
Yo, yeah. Shit, yeah. Drake.
North American, Drake, I guess he counts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Drake. Yeah, or J. Cole. I'm a Dreamville, like, from the old days. So, J. Cole would, like, have these, like, £1 shows.
Yeah,
have people queuing up. Yeah. Mm-hmm. People queuing up like round the corner, all around the block.
Mm-hmm. Pounding a dream is funny.
That's hilarious.
I know. I know. We couldn't go to the exchange and get a dollar for that to give the pound.
Throw a coin at him.
Yeah, he's been doing that for years. Like he's
another shilling, sir.
He's solidified in London, J. Cole for sure. Mm. Kendrick as well.
They're probably in South Africa right now. Rocking the Daisies. They're doing.
It was postponed. Yeah.
There was some natural. A storm or something, but they're all there right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Doing the show?
I'd say probably like Lil Baby.
Lil Baby's big here.
Yeah. Lil Baby, especially like with the younger generation.
Yeah.
That's all of them. All the ones on TikTok, Lil Snapchat. Baby. Mm-hmm. It's all Lil Baby, Lil Durk. All the littles. Gunna. Basically them. Yeah. Gunna as well.
Yeah.
So in the club in London, what would you say is percentage American music versus.
Boy, it's changed.
It's changed. Afrobeats versus up.
Afrobeats, yeah.
Yeah, it's like it's either Afrobeats or Amapiano.
Yeah.
And then, like, you always have, like, a hit. You know, the hip-hop set used to be, like, let's say, like, an hour worth of the dance. Now it's, like, 30 minutes.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's in the States, though. It was like that, too. Afrobeats still.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Afrobeats takes over a majority. I mean, depending on what club you're at. The hip-hop shit. I mean, I guess if you would say, like, the Sexy Red set,
that type of stuff
lasts a little longer, but
we don't even have that here yet. As far as I've seen, we don't have like the real like twerking like set. We don't have.
I don't have strip clubs here.
Yeah,
no.
You have to know about them.
Yeah.
We tried to find one.
Yeah,
do you know?
Yeah,
what?
We knew about it, and it was the last decision we ever made.
We went to a pop up one here last year, and it was
a pop up one.
Yeah,
do you know the issue is? Yeah, is that we have, as we were just talking about earlier, we have pound coins. You can't be throwing pound coins at strippers.
The thing is, yeah, though.
They give you that fake Monopoly money.
Yeah, exactly. They give you that. You exchange the pounds.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that shows you I've had no experience. We went to one now. Like, yeah, when we were coaching.
It was
in
Shoreditch.
You got to put it in a cup, no?
You got to put it in a cup.
They came around.
So they walk around in a cup and you just put.
Wait, like a homeless guy?
So the girls starts and then their cups.
We might need to bring that to America. No, we gotta bring that to America, man. We need that.
Like a belt or something.
Oh, that's great.
That's a big one.
It's a
stripper walking around with a piggy bank is hilarious. Are you kidding me? We need that in New York. We need that.
That's hilarious.
That's great.
Outside of the coin thing, I heard it was like they said it was disrespectful to throw the queen's face.
Oh, I don't know about that.
That was like the rumor I heard is you can't throw money at like hookers with the queen on it.
Maybe that's an old school thing. I don't know about that. Yeah. I don't think we care. But you everyone's doing disrespecting the coins now. Yeah. I don't know.
I think people just
don't. Anyways,
they don't want. Oh. they just don't want to throw £5 notes. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We saw the guard change today.
Is it?
What's that?
What?
We wanted you guys to explain it to us.
Fake local.
We were walking to
Soho
House, and we got caught in a parade because apparently the guards were switching, or the guard change in front of...
I don't know what that is.
Buckingham Palace, where they changed the guard.
It's just substitution.
No, it's just a shift change, but they make a parade out of it.
Oh.
I've never seen it.
What, is that a regular thing? I don't know about that.
You know what?
Three times a week?
I knew the guards changed because obviously they're not going to be there like...
All night.
Yeah. But I think because we're from here...
It's coked up.
Yeah, I just never noticed it.
Yeah.
Imagine needing to piss and you're a guard. What do you do?
They got a bucket in their trousers.
I really like Princess Diana.
Yeah.
You guys think they took her out? Or that was just
I've watched like too many three or four documentaries. I feel like they did something.
At least 80 documentaries.
Yeah.
That's like your JFK.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah,
I guess. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's true.
Yeah.
That's actually true.
But they don't control anything like as far as real politics anymore, right?
No, they don't.
Just some family that's rich.
But our taxes.
They have a say, no?
That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
They live off our taxes. And your taxes just go to them?
Yeah.
Yeah, but the Queen owns like all the land.
Yeah, they own buildings, so they get rent.
Yeah, the crown.
I think stamp duty goes to them. So every time you buy a house, you got to pay like a tax.
They've still got like wealth in the Commonwealth as well, like in Canada.
Wait, so who, if they're not running it, then who's running Parliament?
Yeah.
Okay.
And nobody knows what's going on.
Yeah, who are those guys?
They're in Downing Street, but I don't know what's going on with the politics right now because someone's just, this lady called Suella Braverman just got chucked out because she was calling it homeless. She said that homeless people are there by choice. It's a lifestyle choice. And then she's trying to get rid of all the immigrants. And
yeah, she's an immigrant herself, by the way. Yeah,
it's crazy. Family. It's crazy.
Yeah.
She's like Trump of
I was about to say, she got my vote. everything y'all are saying is like right up my alley. Like, really? Wow, that sounds very familiar to someone I know.
we should build a wall.
I think y'all should just build a wall out here. You know what I mean? Keep them out, man.
Well, she's out of a job, so you can maybe chat to her.
Oh, yeah, man. I got to hit up. I got to DM her, see how she's feeling.
So we're in a Braverman. That's her name.
Take out to eat. Get some dinner.
We were in Toronto for our last show. No, LA and Toronto before that, but we sat with another podcast out in Toronto, and I asked them a question: what their view of America and Americans are. And I want to ask you guys the same question, because boy, did they tell us about.
They let us have it. They didn't hold back anything.
You go first, because you just came from New York.
Yeah, you came out recently.
Yeah, shit on us.
Do you know what? No, like
I love how they start. You know what? I don't know, but tell me.
I had a good time. Like
last year,
people were friendly, like a lot friendlier than like. I don't know if it's because I've got a London accent. Like,
that's 100% why.
Yeah, I was going to say,
Okay, well.
You will have no problem getting women in. No problem. They just want to hear you talk all day.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like I'm talking and people are coming up to me and having conversation. Mm. Obviously, in London, that's not happening. So I'm like, okay, this is foreign to me. You lot are friendly over here. But I don't know if Americans come here, will Londoners feel the need to go and talk to them?
Yeah, I've seen it.
I've been here for 12 hours. Not a single woman has talked.
This is just shout. You need to shout.
Okay, got it.
Because you're like we're close. Like
don't take that advice.
You know, I'm not going to just shout. The street. They're trying to get me locked up.
Not police officer talking to you.
No, I'm cool.
No, I've got good energy from America. I don't think you guys are. I don't think there's an issue.
Yeah, I think Americans are cool. I think you guys are just loud.
Yeah,
just loud. I got loads of cousins and family over there. You guys are just loud.
That's because the city is loud in New York.
Oh, is that what it is?
So we have to talk over like the buses, the cars, and things like that.
I mean, it's loud here too.
Yeah, it is.
But we just you know.
Yeah, more calm. It's a more calm frequency over here, though.
Yeah, you think?
Absolutely.
You think?
Oh, yeah. You guys have horrible traffic. I didn't hear one person honk their horn.
Yeah.
They blew my mind. Oh. I wanted to lean over to the Uber driver.
You're in West London. If you just go like 10 miles up that way to south or north.
Yeah,
you'll see real life.
No, I could see that because last time I was out here, I went to Brixton. I hung out
in Brixton.
Okay. By choice.
Yeah, no, that's Brooklyn. That's like Brooklyn Hall. I was like, I know where I'm
Would
at.
Would you with somebody or you just?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I wasn't south. I'm not doing. Come on.
I don't know. You just come at the station. You just thought this is a nice place.
I called Giggs immediately. He was like, if you need me to send the bros over there with you, I said, I'm just going to get something to eat and going back to the hotel. That's all I'm doing over here. But I noticed immediately, I was like, okay, this looks familiar. Familiar energy, things like that. And I was like, all right, I understand where I'm at.
Yeah. I think that's the thing about London. Like, certain parts is very, like, proper and, like, calm. But as soon as you go to the wrong place. And
Do you know what I didn't like about Americans? Like, you're right. Like, I said it was all nice and then I have something else.
Yeah, it's totally fine. I don't like us either.
Obviously, that was the first time I went to New York, innit, a couple of months ago. And I've seen like the subways on like TikTok and Twitter. So
it's a whole different world.
I'm scared, innit?
Yeah.
And then, I thought you meant the restaurant. You mean the actual subway?
No, the actual subway. Okay. So then I walked onto the subway. A woman in front of me goes to get on one of the carriages, and then she walks straight off. I feel like if you're in London, like you'll warn whoever's behind you as to why you're walking off.
Yeah.
She goes on. What?
If that's not my train, that's not my train. Doesn't mean it's not your
No,
train.
No, but she walks on and she walks off. The reason why she walked off because
she there was a homeless
person doing a madness on the train.
Doing a what?
I think they were like pissing or something on the train.
Yeah. That's a typical day.
Really? Oh, crazy.
I was like,
actually, you're the visitor there.
Yeah, like that was,
that was his condo. I believe y'all call it a flat. That was his flat that you walked into. So like, you walked in while it was bath time. Like, it's not his fault. Like,
between cars, there's like a two seater. Right there. Don't ever sit in. That's where they piss and shit.
Yeah.
That's why that's always available. Like those two seats next to the door to the next car.
You never sit there.
That's why it's always open.
You never sit there.
They shit and piss.
No wonder they were always free.
Yeah. You sat in the feces.
The perception normally from us, like looking at Americans, is that there's two main things. Is your general knowledge is shocking.
About geography.
No, Rory.
Geography, politics, anything outside of just America, just their state.
Yeah, let's do it.
And your dress sense.
And what?
Dress sense. Yeah, I think New Yorkers, I mean, you guys are all right, but New Yorkers in general. And
yeah.
I've seen women wear like a fedora, like sort of hat, like a dress and then boots.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like, they're going out.
Those are heroin addicts. What are you
talking about? No, but I've seen some wild stuff from you guys.
New York is, it's pockets of the city where fashion is a little bit like, I don't know about that, but you do have a lot of people in New York that have a great sense of fashion.
Okay.
It is the fashion capital of the world. I think most models have to come through New York at some point.
Yeah.
Most fashion brands have to come through New York
some
point.
That's true.
But you have, your eclectic dressing people that make it a little like,
what's happening?
Yeah, like it's a little, that's a little weird, but I think that's anywhere though.
Yeah.
I've seen people in London dress really nice.
Yeah.
And I've also seen people in London dressed like, there might be something wrong with
that. That's true.
I think London and New York are identical.
It's similar.
In London dress crazy. Yeah. I've seen them dress better than anyone I've seen.
Okay, like, fair.
Because, if you think New York dress is bad, you have to go to some other states.
Oh, like, I've heard, actually.
I heard Atlanta's bad.
Atlanta's awful.
Yeah, I heard
Atlanta. Atlanta, they just wear anything. And it's like, a lot of it's latex, I see.
Yeah.
I see latex? Well, I've just seen some like videos of like people coming outside the club and, like, it might be like a red latex, like whole, like.
Well, that's because the HIV rate out there is really,
that's true.
Like,
they need it. They need to dress like a condom.
They need to protect themselves at all times. They need to wear latex.
Fully protected.
Yeah. You never know. It might just jump on you at the club. You don't know.
The whole Atlanta.
Exactly.
Okay, cool.
And the dudes in Atlanta, just whatever is designer, they'll mix and match fucking anything.
It's
awful.
It's bad.
Like, they'll literally put any Louis belt with Balenciaga sneakers and True Religion jeans.
And they have to show it. Everything has to be shown, innit?
Yeah, it's bad out there.
That's crazy.
Yeah, hood guys do that here when it's like the first coming into money. That's when they just throw all the designer all at once.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
I think that's probably every city, though.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's anywhere when somebody touched their first piece of money.
Yeah.
They just fuck it up on dumb shit. Like, yo, why did I buy all of that?
Why did I pay $1,200 for these shoes? These are trash.
It's funny because I was going through my sneakers the other day. And I called my homeboy. I said, why did you let me do this? Right? He was like, what are you talking about? I said, I have the same sneaker in four different colors.
I like that, though.
That's a mental illness.
Yeah, what they're comfortable?
No, it's the same shoe. It's the same Jordan 1.
Okay, yeah.
But it's the same colors, but the colors are just flipped.
Oh, okay.
So you match it with the same shit.
It's like, why do I have still blue, white, and royal blue. Like, it's the same colors, just on different parts of the sneaker.
Yeah, you probably had money that week, and you just like, let me.
It's so stupid. Yeah. I'm talking about never worn, still in the box.
Oh, my God.
So, I was just going through something. Like, I was at that point, I was like, what was I going through? I said, I want this one, and that one. It's the same sneaker.
Did you guys ever buy those, I don't know, was it Valentino? Just with the spikes on the.
I never was a designer sneaker.
Okay. I thought they stink so bad.
They always
look
so uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's terrible.
They're flat.
I just wear Nikes, Pumas, New Balance.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
How were the lubes? Did you have them?
I ain't got no lubes, bro.
Oh, I thought you did.
You look like a spiky nigga. You look like one of them had the spiky shoes.
When you said New Balance, I got some New Balances really recently that are cold.
Yeah. New Balance made a tremendous push like into the culture the last couple
years. That's true, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, they still, I don't know what they're doing on the basketball department. They still got some ground to cover there, but their lifestyle, like, oh man, they're going crazy right now.
They're doing football as well.
Coming through football.
Liverpool, is it Liverpool?
Yeah. A lot of like pro players are getting sponsored by New Balance.
Really?
Okay.
Wow, that's impressive.
Doing soccer shit. I mean,
I didn't even know they was getting into soccer.
Yeah.
Do you guys watch? Like, do you like football?
I don't want to, I'm not going to LeBron this conversation. I watch when the World Cup is on. I'm not on like a random Saturday going to watch one club versus another club. Like when a big game is on. I enjoy it.
When we got Messi, I was watching.
Oh, you watched
that string of games when he was at FC Miami.
Yeah.
That was exciting. But again, at the end of the day, it's MLS, so it's like shit soccer. Yeah. But it is Messi. So
yeah, true.
That was cool. Yeah. But I don't. My best friend is a Chelsea fan.
Okay.
If I'm with him, I'll pretend to care. Yeah. But
it's play fun. FIFA. It's fun to watch with people that like really care. Again, I'm not gonna get. Here, like,
do you know what
LeBron
offside
and say I love it, and then you guys start asking me real questions, and I'm like, well, I like no fucking clue.
I like the young kid Bukayo.
Bukayo Saka,
he's guy. He's sponsored by Nibali.
Yeah. I like Haaland too.
Haaland, he's cold. Rashford.
Yeah.
Have you seen how the footballers now they're dressing like rappers now? Have you seen that?
Of course. Trying to be more.
It's funny because last time we was here, I went to the club, and the one thing I noticed, I said, "Oh, over here, the soccer players are like the." NBA players back home with the girls.
Yeah.
But it's different because soccer players physically are maybe not 6'8", 6'9".
Not
a lot of them.
Yeah. Mm.
So if you see a guy that's average height, 6 feet, 5'11", you like, yo, who is this dude?
That's not like, average height over here, though.
He just won MVP of the fucking like tournament last week. Yeah, it's like, oh, he's on. That's why all the girls are at his table. Okay, I get it. I thought he was a local drug dealer. he happens to be a great soccer player. Like, oh, okay, respect, man. You know.
We're seeing, like, at least from the state side, the international push from Adam Silver with the NBA. And with a lot of, like, stars from all over the world coming in the league. Is that, like, resonating over here? They keep saying it. Stateside, like,
yeah, because we've had some NBA games here.
Like, is that really happening here? Do people really care about the NBA?
As in fans or people to actually go into play in the NBA?
No, playing, I see it. We can tangibly, they're there. But I'm saying, like, fan wise, because the hours are awkward here.
Yeah.
You get like how many NBA games are really played out here?
I watch mainly highlights though, because of the time. Like, it'll be like 3 a.m. or on a Sunday, it might be like maybe like a 12 or whatever it is. So I can watch some games. They do NBA London, like they do a game here like once a year, two games, twice a year or something. Mm-hmm. So that's making it a bit more of a thing, and they're doing. You can see a lot of the marketing push.
Yeah,
I'm not too sure if like the average person cares though.
Well, the NFL I feel like is doing it way more than the NBA.
NFL, they've been going for years. Like they'll do like a good like 10 games.
They
here.
Just played two games in Germany.
Oh, yes. I didn't know that.
The Chiefs. They brought the Chiefs to Germany.
Oh, shit.
So Taylor, like, not Taylor Swift wasn't there. She played. Oh. No, but, like, it was like a big thing. Like, it was in, like, so to see it go from just London to now other parts out here.
Yeah. If you're here during the NFL, literally, like, the streets are just jerseys.
Packed up.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of Americans here anyways.
Yeah.
But, like, a lot of the London or the people that are born in, you see a lot of fans. Like,
who do they rock? What are the teams?
It's like, whoever's here.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're changing every week, but it's whoever's here.
That's funny. Whoever's here. It's like, okay.
It's a Jets fan.
That's funny.
Yeah.
But that's kind of how I treat football, soccer. Whatever my friend is cheering for, I'm like, all right, bet. We like Manchester United today. That's who we're going for.
Yeah, but Kyle was just named captain. I'm going by his jersey. I got to get his jersey. I got to rep now.
What club do you guys like?
Out in the States.
No, here.
Look. I support Man United.
Yeah, I'm a big Man United.
I'm an Arsenal fan.
Yeah.
Arsenal?
Yeah.
Arsenal.
Are you guys here for a game?
Both of us, Man United.
No, we already looked.
Ah, shit.
Because we were here last year for one, but I think jet lag got the best of us.
Yeah.
I think it was at Chelsea.
We was not to take the train. We was not to take the train down.
Till Sunday.
International week.
It's the week that we looked it up. No, we looked it up. I was definitely going to try to catch a game.
England at Wembley. When are they playing?
They'll probably be playing on like Friday.
They play the day of our show.
Yeah, Friday.
The game starts at 6:30.
Friday,
How do you become fans of certain clubs? Like, I know I sound ignorant, but like, why are you Manchester United? Why are you Chelsea? Okay, so it's not, like the area you grew up in?
I thought
like
he was my dad.
That Netflix shit? I can
see it. No, because he had to be my dad. Like, I loved him that much.
I've seen the cheekbones.
He had to be my dad.
So I just said, I'm going to support him, and I'm supporting his team. And I just
I'm supporting my family.
You saw that Netflix doc about
him? Yeah. I love that.
Did he watch it? That's his dad.
I was in it.
He was there. Did he watch it? He shot it. He was there.
Actually, this is a question. This is going to doing the rounds on social media. Is David Beckham more famous than Tom Cruise? What's your answer to that?
In the world or in America?
That's a wild question. Let's,
just America for now.
Is David Beckham more popular than Tom Cruise in America?
Yeah.
No.
Tom Cruise is more popular.
No, Tom Cruise.
And
is more popular.
I don't like Tom Cruise, but he's more popular.
Tom Cruise is probably one of the biggest actors, if not the biggest actor of all time.
Of all time, yeah.
Okay, fair.
Yeah.
Fair.
Because he does his own stunts. I mean.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah.
He's a good runner.
A good revival as well, the latest.
But David Beckham's up there as far as notoriety, I would say. Okay, so. Okay.
But David Beckham is very popular in America.
Yeah. I mean, he kind of not popped because it's still grown, but like the MLS wasn't shit until he came to the Galaxy.
That's true. Yeah.
That's true.
Like, and now he's the one that bridged the deal with Messi. Like, he's done more for soccer in the States than anyone.
And anyone,
sure.
That's true.
Yeah.
Just going back on what you said earlier. Do they teach geography in American schools?
Yes.
But is it
world geography or
Define geography?
Like world, like countries, capitals, like
the five boroughs,
continents.
Yeah,
it's the five boroughs.
Absolutely, we definitely do the continents. Yeah, but it maybe stops there, and then we just go local.
So to be fair, there's a lot to learn about America. But so they will just be like, okay, Africa, Asia, blah blah blah, blah, and they won't tell you about the countries that are in those.
It unfortunately depends on which district you go to.
Yeah.
The curriculum gets different.
I can speak for public school in the 90s and 2000s.
Yeah. Okay,
we
cool.
learned white America out the ass, and that's about it.
Okay.
It started the Pilgrims, and
they were the nicest people ever.
It was the Pilgrims to the Clintons. Like, that's really all we got.
That's all we got.
Yeah, we don't learn much.
Egyptians were somehow white.
Oh, gosh.
We opened our textbooks. It was white guys.
100%
with that.
That's the same as us.
Really?
Yeah,
was it the same?
Yeah. We just got to watch.
I didn't know there were black Italians until probably like 15 years ago.
Well, Sicilians.
Do you know? I'm not gonna lie. I didn't know. I didn't know until like. I know who's black in a country based on football. So if I watch Italy and there's a black player, then I assume there's black people.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then. Have you guys done like ancestry?
Yes, I did 23andMe.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're like quarter Nigerian.
97% Irish and 3% Jewish.
Oh.
So
I can see the Irish in you though.
Yeah.
I see the Irish.
Have you guys done it? No.
Nah, I never did. I did. My twin sister did hers, so naturally
so should be the same
blood.
Right? Yeah.
And we are related to one of the kings here however many years ago.
Of course.
Kings
related?
Yeah.
Yo. Same blood. Somebody fucked somebody.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure it was consensual.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, they sent her this nice, it was like a papyrus with the king's name on it, and she framed it and hung it. I was like, what is this shit? Somebody in a factory in Manhattan made this up. Fuck out of here.
Yeah, I mean, that 23andMe shit is weird, because my mom did it before me, and they just like circled the globe. They're like, you're from everywhere, just from here.
Yeah.
But mine was a little bit more specific, and then you know the Jewish thing came up, and the Irish side wasn't too pleased with it. But you know, they blamed it on my mother's side. we had a show in Chicago where my favorite aunt lives, and I showed her the results right when we landed. We went to lunch. She was like, "That's from your mother's side." It's like, all right, my bad.
Whatever.
Where are you actually from?
Where I grew up personally, where my family.
Yeah.
What makes the hair curl?
My mom's Lebanese.
Okay.
So she's 100% Lebanese, and my dad's mixed. He's like Cape Verdean, Nigerian, Portuguese. There's a mixure going on.
Can you speak Yoruba? Can you speak any?
I don't speak shit. No. Okay. Tenuous grasp on English. That's about all. But no, I haven't done it. Both my parents have. My mom's was like Rory's. It was like 99.9 like Lebanese.
Yeah.
There's not like a. They're just pure from that side, and then my dad's mixed. So. Yeah, I don't know what I am. I don't know what the breakdown is, but...
Yeah. Okay, cool. All right, we're going to take a quick pivot, So we got some guys here that have... You guys have been in the podcast game since the beginning. Would you say that you We're the first podcasters or one of the first podcasters? Did you say that?
I mean, not within the... our demo, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Definitely one of the first to sign a, probably an exclusive deal.
Yeah.
For sure.
And how do you like, how do you judge the state of podcasting right now? And like, did you see it becoming this, if that makes sense?
I mean, we knew obviously it was going to be something that took off. Yeah. I don't think we thought it would become as big as it is and generate as much money as it does.
Yeah.
But it kind of it's such thing as oversaturation.
Yeah.
And I think, but you know, that's a result of people seeing success in something. If you see somebody or multiple people being successful at something,
you're gonna try.
You're gonna jump on it.
Natural. You're gonna try. Like, yo, let me try that.
Yeah.
So I'm not mad at that. I think everybody should try something. You know, we tried something.
Yeah. And it
worked out for us, and it was something that was able to, you know, bring us around the world over here, sitting with you guys.
Yeah.
So you know, we're grateful for that. But I think that we have to be careful when you start talking about oversaturation and things like that, because then you allow things to seep into something and turn it into something that it's like, it's not really what it once was.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think now it's at a space where certain people have gotten hold of a microphone and a camera that maybe shouldn't. And I'm a firm believer in everybody should not be on camera on a mic.
No, I agree. I agree.
Because you just, it's all about what you're putting into it. It's like, just like, I don't think that everybody should be welcomed into the culture of hip hop. Because what are you bringing to it?
You know what I mean?
That's where you get the word culture vulture. Are you just here to take from it and not enhance it, not elevate it? So I look at podcasts in the same way. I think it's great. It's done great things for people. It's brought people together, communities together, cultures together. But at the same time, I do think it's a little oversaturated. And, now you got people just saying and trying and doing anything.
Yeah. What is it like though in the States? Like, have you got all of those? I haven't seen, like, I don't know if there's, I know you had what's those guys, Fresh and Fit, and like those sort of guys, like that sort of like toxic kind of podcasts. Are there loads of those?
Oh, just like antagonizing.
Yeah, people. Are there loads of them in the States?
I would say more so. There's like a pocket of Miami guys.
Because they see the success in that.
Yeah.
When you start seeing guys saying things and doing things, and it's like, you know, they're getting however many views and downloads and things like that, then it's, you start looking at each other in the neighborhood like, shit, we could do that. We could sit on the mic and say crazy shit. Like, you know, and so then now that's when it turns into something. But again, if people are able to provide for their families, you know, it's better than somebody coming through my bedroom window. Listen, if you got to turn on the camera and the mic and pay your bills, cool. Whatever keeps you out of my house, I'm for it. But I do think that, you know, people still need to keep a certain level of taste and class and professionalism in podcasting. But have fun.
You know, if
you want to say wild shit and do crazy shit on mic, that's cool too. But I just keep a, I just think a certain level of class and taste just need to be there at all times.
Yeah.
Is there that cancel culture? And could, we're not locked into American Twitter. So it's like on UK Twitter, if someone says something crazy, everyone's going to know about it and everyone's going to have something to say about it.
Yeah.
Is there that cancel culture with like podcasts? If they like get a bad guest on that should have been canceled a long time ago or said wild things, are there loads of people who are coming out? If they put out an episode, would there be loads of people who will come and say, why did you get this person on? Yeah. Why are you doing this?
Someone's trying to cancel someone for having DJ Academic.
This could be the final last word. So I'm glad it's recorded, but I think cancel culture met its match with podcasting. Because podcasters typically have a core fan base that knows exactly who they are.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
If they make a mistake and say something that may be out of character or misspoke, your fan base knows who you are and what you actually say. So while people that don't typically listen to your episodes will cancel you on the timeline because they see a clip, but your fan base really knows who you are and where you stand as a human being. So I do think cancel culture really did meet its match with podcasting. But to Maul's point, even more, I think podcast is going through the same thing every genre goes through. Starts out organic, niche, and cool. It catches on. It gets exploited. It gets oversaturated. And now we're in the state of the cream will rise. We everyone's in on it.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah,
you'll
yeah.
see who's really good at it at, yeah. at this point.
Yeah. Do you think so it's going to be
just in the same way mixtapes went through, the same way printing t-shirts, like not yeah. everyone's daily paper.
Yeah. yeah.
Anyone
yeah, yeah,
could make a t-shirt yeah. once they realized making t-shirts was easy yeah. and it was exactly. profitable. Yeah, it's going yeah. through the same thing everything goes through.
Yeah. But cancel yeah. culture is interesting. Only because, you know, from what the way I see it, cancel culture, the only people that try to cancel you is people that are already not fans of yours.
That's true.
Your fans, I don't think yeah, will ever true. Cancel you. Yeah, you can yeah. do some crazy shit, and your fan base will still stand.
They'll find a reason why to, yeah, yeah.
It's usually
yeah.
the ones that see it and be like, hey, what is that?
Yeah.
Oh, we got to cancel that. We can't yeah, have yeah. that type of, it's yeah. like, but you yeah. didn't hear the 99 other episodes we put out yeah. where yeah. we were talking about great stuff.
Yeah. yeah.
So, you know, you go through these waves of people just wanting to, you know, feel like they have an effect on what's out there, and they're able to say, no, we don't want that. Get that out of here. And sometimes it's successful. Mm. But for the most part, I think that if as long as you, again, you have a crazy guest on. People don't agree with a guest. It's what, why did you have that guest on?
Yeah. Mm.
Like, what did you talk about? What did you address? What did you try to, you know, get out of that interview of having that guest on that people feel like you shouldn't have on? But if you're on there championing whatever they did to get canceled,
yeah, yeah, that's a different
now
story.
You're asking to receive some of that heat as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? But if you're on there like, yo, that was fucked up, bro. And why would you do that?
Like, we've been enough time has been removed from cancelable moments where people have had the redemption arc. So like stateside, I don't know how much you guys are, like, Shane Gillis is a comedian back home that booked SNL, Saturday Night Live, as a stand-up comic. It was a big deal. He pushes the limit. As soon as he got hired, they found all these old clips from his podcast. To Rory's point, his podcast fans know the type of guy he is, but they took a clip he said out of context about Asian people, and it was in the middle of Stop Asian Hate.
Okay, yeah.
Circulated that, hit the net. He got fired 3 days after he got the job. Never worked a day on SNL. But a month or two ago, he just put out a Netflix special. So time, like, I feel like we're seeing the
shift.
The people will do their thing. They'll get the cancel out of their system. But there's a redemption arc that can be had if people know who you are and know the kind of content that you make, and you're not a malicious person. I don't know.
People just have to hit refresh on the timeline a little bit.
Yeah.
Just let the shit circulate out of your timeline. Give it about a month.
Yeah.
And now when somebody else is getting canceled, and it's like, back in a little bit. Like, all right, cool.
It doesn't even last that long. It's like something else happens the next day.
Yeah. Drake said something about that in an interview. He said, it's his mom when he started to blow up. His mom was like, I'm seeing all these things about you, and your name is being, like, you know, talked down about. He said to his mom, he said, give me the 48-hour rule. Mm-hmm. If there's nothing about, if this isn't a conversation in 48 hours, it's done. Cool. Don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I saw that. That's like an old interview. He mentioned that. And that's just, I think, a good token to live by in this space.
Yeah, where do you lot think, like, the future of podcasting is going? Do you think it's going to still be in the traditional format, using mics, having camera, or do you think it's going to need to take a higher form, maybe going onto TV and build, like, a show or...
I think like anything, it has to pivot, change, and adapt 100%. To the culture that's happening at the moment. And I think a lot of that has to do with visuals and things you're doing outside of podcasting. But at the end of the day, podcasting is AM radio. Like, this will never leave.
People
sitting here talking on a microphone will never leave. We do need to adapt. We do need to change. We do need to do higher production. We need to add more elements to it. But at the end of the day, since a microphone was invented, this has never changed. This was before FM radio. This is before music was played on the radio. This just talking. It will never change, but you need to adapt with the times. You need to, you know, chase certain elements that have to do with socials, and growing your audience is always going to take other shit, but this will never change.
So this is a question about obviously your journey. So you guys were part of a podcast obviously before, and then you pivoted and you started your own thing. Was you scared, like, going into that? Like, was that
scared?
Like, is that, because obviously, you know, your fans are your fans, but your this is now a different show. Was there, like, some fear going into that, or was you just, let's just do it and see how it goes?
Me and Rory talk about it often. It was a moment where it was probably some uncertainty. I don't know if scared, I was maybe nervous.
I
remember me and Rory having a conversation one day, and I told him, like, yo, just relax, bro. Like, we got the truth on our side. You know what I'm saying?
It's true.
Once you have that,
yeah,
everything else is going to fall in its place. So not scared, but just the
the feeling of not knowing. I think that's what it was for me. Like what do we do? What's going to happen? How does this look? How does this sound? You know, because for me, it was like I wanted it to be a complete different thing. Okay, like, I didn't want to try to imitate or mimic what we had already done and laid down. So that was the challenging part for me. It was trying to figure out what do we look like. And then once we did, you know, put out our first skit,
the everybody skits are hilarious, was like, by the way.
Thank you. Everybody was like, oh, really man, like, we need a week of this. And I was now we were like, do they want us to do a podcast? Do they want us to get into more, like, acting? TV? So I'm like, that was a beautiful thing. So, you know, that was a thing that we tapped into. And the thing that we want to tap into more in the future as well. But it was definitely times of just not knowing. And because, you know, the landscape changes so much and then audiences change so much. And then no matter what you do or say, people are always going to hold you to what you already did in the past.
That's true.
So they're going to compare it to that. When it's like, yeah, that's cool, but we did that, but now this is something different. This is something else we're trying to do. This is something else we're trying to build. And, you know, we're trying to go a different way and try different things and sit down with people that you never thought we would sit down with. And just still be ourselves, still have fun. Things that we are really into and things that we talk about amongst each other, we just try to bring it to the microphone and to the platform, but still be ourselves. You know what I mean? Still have fun, still elevate people around us, and just give it that family vibe where it's like, you know, everybody, this is supposed to be fun.
It's meant to be easy, right?
Yeah, like, we shouldn't take this, like, don't take it so serious to where it's like, we forget what we're doing. Like, we're having fun, we're here to laugh, we're here to entertain, educate. But bottom line is have fun, enjoy what you're doing, and just realize how blessed and fortunate we are.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, I mean, I think anything unknown can make somebody feel nervous, but nervous doesn't necessarily mean bad. Nerves can actually be the greatest thing that you could possibly have.
Nerves are great.
That moment was the biggest kick in the ass for me to understand perspective, because I was definitely, you know, that shit damn near ended in a day, and it was like, all right, well, what's up, Maul? What's next? Like, tomorrow we have to make a decision. And it taught me perspective more than I think anything, because instead of looking like, okay, a chapter closed, what the fuck are we going to do next? I was able to look at it as like, great, what can we do next? Clearly that was a situation that wasn't going well for any of us. Now I have a whole clean slate to do what Maul and I want to do. Like, we can try shit and get creative and succeed and fail. And it just taught me perspective. Because that same nerves that I looked at, like, all right, fuck. That was 5 years of a check. Finances in order. I knew exactly where things were going. Was gone within 24 hours. But if you look at it the other way, oh, this is great. We have opportunity here. We have peace here. We have the ability to do things that we've always wanted to do, but we're already in, you know, some bubble that's being led by someone else. Now we get to lead. Which was great. So it taught me perspective. That's where the nerves really sunk in.
There's only perspective. There's only three of us here today, but there's nine of us in total. And we're all on the podcast every week. But it's like, what our thing is, we record and it's animated. So we're like pushing towards like TV show sort of thing. So like, there's nine of us, we're all friends. We've been friends for years. Because of what
that's
you guys
change.
That's what I'm going to say. Because of what you guys have been through.
Be careful. It starts at nine.
What's your advice for that?
When you said that, they had the two people in their head immediately that were like, we're going to seven next year.
They don't know. You see, it's only three of them here, right? There's only three here.
Just availability.
Availability, my ass. I know what's going on.
How do you guys record? How do you get nine schedules aligned?
It's tough. Difficult. It's tough. Because we don't record weekly, we record in bulk, and then we do a creative direction process to then get it animated. Then we put it out of season. So it's easier that way.
Is it someone on the team of one of you guys that animates?
No. We got that freelance. We got a whole like four or five animators, something like that.
That's dope.
But my question was like, what's your advice like working with friends, doing business with friends? Because you're right, it's meant to be fun, it's meant to be chilled and easy. But now there's a stream of money. And you're all friends. And then ideas, like you might say, let's do a skit on Friday. And he's like, no, that's shit. Let's do a skit on Wednesday. Yeah. Wednesday's not a film.
The film.
I didn't mean the film, but I didn't know what film. Oh, to okay.
my best advice is someone that's went through two different businesses that was based off friendship.
Yeah.
Did the Palooza thing with my friends, then did the Opa with former friends. Mm-hmm. You need to ask everyone what they want out of this. Like, well, you could go through the whole finance bullshit. That's is what it is. That's black and white in that. Good business is good business. Lawyers, all that. Not interested in giving that type of advice. You should know everyone's end goal, or at least what they're trying to get out of this. Because you may be looking at something as an end goal for this podcast and have no idea that someone else has a completely different goal. And then 3 years in, it's like, wait, we're not on the same page anymore? What does everyone want out of this? And even if the answer is, I don't know, at least you know that. Because everyone's on different page. Even if you're best friends, everything's going great. People may have different agendas in a positive way
Of course,
of what they want out of this. All right, I want to grow my following here to go do something else. All right, cool, I know that. You need to know what everyone's agenda is. An agenda gets a negative connotation when it's not. What do you want out of this? What? Why are you here? And where do you see you going? Because this, no matter what you do, it's eventually going to end. People are going to grow. People are going to get older. Like, that's just life. So in knowing that, you skip a lot of the bullshit because you know what that person
is
here for.
That's true. Also, if they tell you the truth, that is.
Oh, obviously.
That also, goes without saying.
Also, when you notice things, you start seeing like little funny moves. When ego starts to come in a little bit and you start seeing people acting different, address it immediately.
Okay.
Like, don't just laugh it off just think because we friends, address it immediately. Like, because that's going to turn into something else. And that's going to pop up later on and you're going to be like, this is why I should have had that talk back then.
What you just said reminded me of something you said. It was back then when it was all kicking off. And you said something like, men don't bring up stuff. So if you've got an issue, if you've got an issue with another man and he's your friend, you're probably reluctant to bring it up in that time because you just kind of want to just like...
You don't want to seem you don't like, wanna, like a bitch.
You don't want to seem like you're bringing up an issue.
But it's also, you know what it is too? You don't... as men, sometimes you don't have conversations with each other because, you know, the male ego is fragile. So you don't want to have a conversation and now it changes the relationship. With my boy, it's like, damn, like, you still mad? Like, we addressed that, let's move on. It's over. You know what I mean? I saw something, I asked you about it, we had a conversation, that's it, it's over. But, you know, as men, sometimes we it's hard for us to have those conversations because, again, you know, we just feel a certain type of way after and it's like, now we can't let it go. But it is important to address it, though. Because what you're feeling and what you're seeing is something deeper behind it. Like, you may think it's just the surface of what you see. It's like, no, it's something deeper than that. It's coming from somebody, excuse me, coming from somewhere deeper and it's going to lead, it's going to lead into something.
It's only because you went like that.
It's coming from, that's crazy.
I want to pause if you
No, that's just bad timing. It's crazy. Ghost just threw his dick in my mouth.
Took it way further.
Yeah, I didn't know you were going to go there.
I mean, it is what it is. But like, you gotta address shit as soon as you notice shit and you feel certain things like are funny, address it, man. I'm telling you, because it's going to save a lot of things down the line from just coming to a ahead and you just like, all right, now we're here and it is it's just all blown up now.
I'd rather come across annoying for an hour and have clarity for the rest of my life than just hold that shit in and then it blow up years down the line.
But like I said, it starts at 9.
It's got, we'll see.
How long? How many years?
We started 2019. In 2019, but we've been I've known him since I was like 11 years old. I've known him since I was 16. Okay. We're 33 now, 32, 33.
Yeah, but you guys like the same football club.
I'm on my way out.
They're gonna vote him out. Like, yo, he's an Arsenal.
Trying to find a seat.
Arsenal.
The craziest thing, me and him actually started our own like separate football
podcast.
Yeah, we have. Oh, yeah.
Here we go.
But I mean, that's just
that's good. That's a good way.
I hear you. Now I hear you.
Keeping
but
that.
When he started his Arsenal podcast, did y'all start talking shit?
They like, let me on. It's the most viewed episode, man.
It's true. There you go. See.
You see what you said about egos?
Yeah. That's ego coming out the now. Most viewed. You said it's the most viewed. All right. Talk about it.
That's funny. When it comes to you guys' goals, do you like how often do you guys kind of check in with each other?
As goals?
Yeah. So obviously what you might have, your vision for the pod or for your projects is, do you do like every couple of years? Is it a regular conversation every month?
We're coming to the end of our deal with Sirius, which was 2 years, but you know, that was when we started the pod. We had check-ins every day because so much of that at that point was short term because we were still figuring out what we wanted to do with this entire thing.
Yeah.
We've definitely been having more of the long form conversations now because we got those first 2 years out. Like we're starting a pod from scratch. Like and we didn't know what it was yet. We didn't know what we wanted it to be yet, which was the beauty of it. Let's try a bunch of different things and see what fits for us. So we're just now, I think, having those long form conversations. Because everything was so much in the moment, like, all right, we tried this yesterday. What'd you think about it? All right, let's try this tomorrow. All right, let's get some writers. Let's do some other sketch stuff. So it's been check-ins every day. I think now with this transition from the Sirius deal is when we're like, all right, what does 5 years look like now that we have these 2 years under our belt? So
and it's just fun at the same time. Man. It's just fun building something and watching it grow, watching it, you know, come to life. Like I always like doing shit like that. Like some people on the outside are like, oh, that shit is trash, that shit is whack. It's like we just starting. Like, you don't go to a fucking a realtor's and be like, yo, that house is terrible. Like it doesn't have windows yet, bro. Like, relax. Like, you know what I'm saying? When it's finished,
we're building up.
Then you're gonna be like, damn, that's fire. You know what I mean? So it's like we laugh at that those moments of, you know, hearing that. And it's like, yeah, but y'all don't know what this end looks like. Because we don't know what the end looks like.
And even when we started with the new pod 2 years ago, kind of back to your point asking about where podcasting is currently, it got oversaturated, so it got diluted. So not just our pod, every single pod has to have conversations of where the fuck is this going? Because the entire genre changed. Because like everything, they oversaturated it, diluted it, and now there's not as much money as there once was. Fucked it up the same way they fuck everything up. So we're not the only ones having those conversations. Every podcaster is looking like, all right, what's 5 years like now? Because the max deals is done. Like, you really have to, do you have a core fan base or not? Because everyone has to start back at that. No longer are they just throwing any ad dollar at you. It's changed.
It has. We're learning, boy.
When you see Netflix scrambling, podcasting is in the same boat.
I mean, we say all that to say we got about 700 people coming out Friday and like
check
us out. So you know what I mean? Big. I mean, that's just where we at right now.
That's big.
Over there in London, in the UK, kicking it with the people and ready to have some fun, man.
Where's the venue?
At Leicester Square Theatre.
Leicester Square. Oh, I saw a video of you guys pronouncing that the first time. That was terrible.
Leicester. I called it Leicester.
That's terrible, man.
Little sister. Leicester
Square Theatre.
Y'all know where we at. Pull up, man. Let's have a good time.
That's Buckingham Palace.
How famous are you guys in New York? Like, do you have to roll with security? Like, does everyone notice you when you're walking down the
street? He travels in a Sprinter.
Oh, yeah.
It's a driver. It's a...
That's only from going out. If it's a night out, like dinner, and something like that. That's not an everyday thing. Okay. But no, security for what?
I don't know. Just for you.
Only losers have security.
Shit.
People love me.
The people are mall security.
I still walk around Harlem.
His King's Guard.
I still go to Harlem and get my hair cut.
On the subway. That's my
I don't. Security for what? I think it's corny if you have security.
Oh, is it?
Unless
you're Tom Cruise.
Certain people need security because you cause pandemonium when you go outside. You need security for that. But other than that, it's like, again, that ego shit. What you need security for? What would I need security for? I've never had security a damn while. Now I need security because I have a podcast with my friends and I'm talking shit. Come on, man. I don't need no fucking security.
And I mean, knock on wood, since I see all the hate on the internet for 7 years of doing this shit, every single time I went outside, it's been love. Nothing but love.
It's nothing but love. And people that hate you is a very, that's a very limited small pocket.
I know they're at home all day in their bedroom.
And if they see me, the thing that I've noticed is the people that I know have said that they don't like me, once I see them, you would never know they don't like
it. Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Oh, no, every time it's, yo, come on, I was just content.
Yes, content. It's like, yeah, well, let me know, because I don't come from that. I don't make content like that. You're not going to find a video of me anywhere talking shit about somebody that I don't know. Like, I don't do that. Yeah. And when people do it to me, it's weird, because it's like, wait, I've never met this person.
Yeah.
So it's like, when I see them, am I on offense? Am I on defense? Like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
And then it's like, once you look at them, it's like, yo, that's content. Oh, okay, you playing that game. All right, I don't play that game, but okay, have fun.
And I don't think I've ever, like, flat-out disrespected somebody on an episode, like, where it would be hands or something like that. I've had disagreements, and I've had people, artists, whatever, reach out to me via DM that were upset, but I've never disrespected somebody as a person.
Yeah.
Where I feel like it would ever get to that. So, no, I don't think that.
That's crazy what you say about a music thing, because in the UK, it's harder for us to critique the music. Because you might just see that person the next day.
The next,
They're quite literally.
Whereas you guys can, like, I mean, yes, how many
again,
states? You're not gonna bump into, like, Offset.
Because I don't like your new song doesn't mean I don't like you.
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. But they're always gonna take it like that.
Yeah, but it's, what about the 17 other songs of yours that I liked?
Yeah,
I just didn't like the latest one.
They'll never hear that.
It's just the one you just put out last night. I wasn't feeling that one.
Yeah.
The last album I love is one of my favorites, but I don't get
no one's sending that to them though.
Yeah,
it's insane. That shit is insane to me, bro.
And if anyone tried to sneak me or whatever, that would just be for content. They wouldn't have a real reason to do so. And if it gets to that point, then I'm gonna crash out. Like, sneak me once. It's on forever. Fuck this podcast. I'm dumb. That's what I don't think people realize. I do be quiet about. I'm dumb. I'll go there if we need to.
Yeah, look at the camera. Look at the camera. Which camera is it?
Crash out. Like, all of us will go. No one will have a podcast anymore.
I'm with that type of shit. I like that.
I would never go there unless. But once we go there,
it's a
wrap. Speaking of crashing out, Rory, last year in London, almost did that to the hotel manager that we were with last year.
Why are you trying to fight him?
Well, he kept trying to get into my room.
What?
Whoa.
Yeah.
It wasn't
I had my Netflix on my MacBook. Netflix. A MacBook. I didn't have it connected to a speaker, nothing.
Okay.
And he kept knocking. This big gay dude. And
he wasn't to chill with you.
He kept knocking on my door. And I was like, yo, it's fine. Like, I'll lower it. I even lowered it on the MacBook. Then he came back. Then he's like stepped close into the room. And at that point, he
took his trousers. I don't know where.
Was it late at night? Or was it like?
Yeah, it was late.
It was those hours.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. But his energy wasn't... Like, I left. After the first two interactions, I left. And then I found out the rest of the story. But, like, he was on some... It was too much.
I didn't even have a Beats pill. And, like, just my MacBook. I'm in my bed watching Netflix. Like, no, you're here, like...
You're here for something else.
Like, stop.
Yeah,
something
else.
You go up in the elevator. Why are you...
It must have been worse when you left. He's not thinking, I'll get him to myself.
Yeah. Exactly.
And you're in the same hotel. This year, right?
He went back. He's the only one at the same hotel. I'm somewhere else.
He
told you to leave.
All right, all good. All right, to close off, I don't know if you guys listen to any UK podcasts, but if you do, like, who do you listen to? Don't say us, because there's no that
you guys.
I know the Shits and Gigs guys.
Yeah. They're really good guys. Hilarious. Hilarious.
Still his answer.
Yeah. You too.
It was I forgot the name of this one podcast. I used to watch it, like, last year. I watched it a lot.
What was her name?
Definitely was a girl.
It was a girl.
No.
What did she look like?
It was a girl co-host.
Group of guys.
Girl producer.
Black guys.
Yeah.
Free shots.
Free shots.
We were just with them yesterday. Yeah. Good guys.
I used to watch that a lot.
Yeah.
Shout out to those guys. They still doing their thing?
Same studio. Yeah.
We didn't have time, but DJ Ace, the show I love. I mean, I know it's not a podcast, but
Ace is my guy.
Yeah.
Shout out to Ace. Good dude.
I lied to Charlie Sloth and said that Maul would do a freestyle if we come up there this time.
Oh, you can rap.
That's sick. You put that on Maul.
I'm from the Bronx. I think I can rap. I'm from the Bronx.
Yeah, quick 16. Yeah. Let's go.
Damn, why y'all?
Nah, I get grab a beat quickly, man.
Grab a beat.
Grab a beat. I don't think I can just grab it.
Don't even look for it.
Because now I'm 16.
Oh, you want acapella?
No, acapulco.
Acapulco? Now, I don't even know if I want to do that on your platform and have y'all go viral like that. You know what I'm saying?
We need it.
What? Speaking of cancel culture, what happened to Tim Westwood? Is it done?
I'm seeing him DJ places, but
Tim is back.
He's done in the streets. Like, no one's known.
Old shit, but like, what exactly did he do?
He's been touching young girls for years.
Oh, he's getting nasty with it?
Yeah. Nasty with the queens in them.
Yeah.
I'm not paying anything on the queens. Yeah. Okay, that prince, fair. Yeah.
16. I haven't forgotten.
But y'all, like, revere him as a legend? Or did that kill everything?
16 was different.
Yeah, killed
it. 100%.
That's crazy.
He's got some legendary freestyles on there, but it's not about him. It's about the artists on there, right?
Yeah.
Can you guys dead my Zane Lowe beef?
I don't know him personally.
You got beef?
Apparently.
What did you say?
What'd you do?
Everything.
you hate his interviews.
Years and years and years ago, I think it was the Kanye interview where I said it would have been better if he interviewed Kanye with him on his lap. And I don't think he found that. And I did it like in a bad UK accent.
Yeah. Oh,
I didn't think it was that crazy, but it was like,
More than that. It was more than do that.
Really?
What you mean?
You used to talk. You talked about Zane a lot on a few different episodes.
Yes, one episode.
No, it was more than that.
No. After I found out it was beef, I kept talking. But the beef started with one.
But that's how beef starts. Just talks with one piece of disrespect, and then either you hatch that up and you move on, but you continue to disrespect.
I didn't think it was that crazy of a disrespect when I just did a joke on the old pod.
No, it wasn't that crazy.
So then we get to the Apple campus in LA when we were going to do Nikki's show. And I found out that like it was static and like it took me a little longer.
That'd be a funny fight.
Maul and the whole crew all got in. I had to wait a little bit.
I'm a barb, so Nikki made sure I had all access. Yeah.
Okay. Someone very close to Emotional Oranges is pretty high up in Apple.
Yeah.
And you met her. Mm-hmm. She was with us. She was like our liaison.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She was like, yo, Zane. Zane said you banned for life over here.
Damn.
And I was like, I made one fucking joke. And then after that, I was like, all right.
Now that I'm banned, let's get banned some more. Yeah. Everyone's banned. Fuck it.
It's the mature approach.
Yeah. Fuck it.
Okay.
I just thought it was immature for him to like take it that personal.
Yeah.
Because I respect Zane, everything he did with Apple Music. And like, I know his resume.
Yeah.
I just didn't think he would take one little ass joke on an episode that didn't go viral, nothing.
Yeah.
Damn, is he subscribed? Like, what the fuck? It was like a two second moment. Now banned from the Apple campus?
Any more beefs that we need to squash, or is that?
Is that only one?
No, I don't have no beefs.
Is that a peace offering?
No, it's not. No, he still wants beef with Zane Lowe. No peace offering.
I went to do Nadeska's show when my album came out, and Nadeska had no idea about that whole thing because it was behind the scenes. Yeah. She was like, so you're going to do Zane? I was like, I mean, can you text him? I have no beef with Zane Lowe.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought he took that Kanye interview.
To heart, isn't it?
He was dick riding the whole time, man.
Was this the one where you said, what does Gaga know about photos?
Cameras, yes.
Yeah, cameras. Is that the one same one?
The entire time. He's like, oh my God, you're like the great. But he does that with every artist.
Yeah, he does, yeah.
But that's his lane. And I'm not mad at it. I think artists should get their flowers. Yeah. Zane is important because I think media has gotten too harsh.
Mm.
I feel like everyone thinks they have to be the new version of the old Charlemagne. All fans want, like, if you have an artist in front of you, shit on them. That's the only way we want. So I think Zane is important because Zane does give people flowers, and I think that's important.
Yeah. Mm.
Just at that time, it was like, yo, just put Ye in your lap. Ask him one question besides he's the greatest of all time.
Yeah. this
clip will make Zane feel differently about you.
I'm sure it will.
The band has been lifted.
You can go to Apple Music whenever you like.
It's fine. Juicy J walked me in that day. Going in to do that Pink Friday shit. It's like, Juicy J? I was so excited to see Juicy J.
All good. Thank you guys for coming through. Course, thank you, Daily Paper. Guys, thank you, Rory Mao.
Thank
Julian.
You, man. Thank you.
We've been passing me a cap. Blessings, man.
It's always love over here in the UK. We appreciate y'all having us. We appreciate the people over here, man. And let's have some fun Friday. Now, I don't know when
you guys are excited for Friday. What's the plan?
We might be able to come through. We're recording.
Yeah,
we can try and figure it out.
So the other six guys are showing up.
It depends who's available.
It depends on who's available. We're going to come back next year. Which one of y'all not going to be here next year? I want to come back next year this time.
We don't know.
Arsenal's going to win it all. Arsenal might win it all, and y'all going to stop fucking with him.
Next year, I want to come back on Sunday.
So he said by the time this comes out, we'll be gone. We'll be back.
Okay, so if you're hearing this, thank you, London.
What's the move this weekend?
This weekend.
They're going to see 50 instead of us.
Oh, no, I'm not even out this weekend. What are we doing?
Yeah, I'm about
after
about
recording,
Saturday,
I'm about, though.
Yeah, on Saturday. About Friday.
On Friday. Oh, yeah. I hope you don't do, like, the West End clubs. Like, you go to the actual, like, good clubs where they play good music and that.
I went to Tape last year.
Oh, Tape's good, though.
Tape's all right.
We went to the Box.
We went to the Box, and they did some nasty shit.
Some madness in that place.
Mall got peed on.
Yeah.
What?
Oh, shit.
That's the same jacket he wore last year.
He picked it up for dry cleaning Monday night.
Here you go. The hotel took it to the dry cleaners, and I just picked it up when I got back. Threw it on. Yeah.
What, you trying to go back to the Box?
The Box is dope. It's some girls in the Box, man. I know the show gets a little crazy.
It's
crazy.
But I haven't been back. I went once. I haven't been back to
that. Yeah, but you gotta just, when the show is started, you gotta just ignore that. And just focus on the girls.
Focus on Kitty Cat.
Yeah.
True.
Let us know. I'll come through.
I'll come through the show.
Yeah.
It might be a thing this weekend, though. Like I don't know if they'll do like a DLT or...
They should, though.
They should. That's real, like...
DLT?
Yeah, it's like... It's a house party that they went to New York. And then they saw like the house party vibe, like
brunch, it was everyday people.
Yeah, the brunch. Brunch.
Okay,
and they came back and brought their
like day parties,
they're
that
in
kind
Brazil
of thing.
This week. Yeah.
Okay,
oh, really?
Don't kill me, Reddit, but everyday people's family.
They are.
Those are our guys. For real.
I went.
Oh, yeah, no, those are people.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, all good.
I'll hit gigs and see. He gonna have me fall.
Oh yeah, there you go. Yeah, you probably
he'll figure it out.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, not all of us can just hit up gigs though.
That's funny.
Thank you, man.
Thank you, bro. Appreciate y'all, man. Thank you.
Love, man.
Guys.
Bro.
Thank y'all, man. Appreciate y'all. Thank you.